We are going to be in the book of Leviticus today. I know that's your favorite book, and you love to peruse Leviticus. So many people start out new year going through their new reading program, and they do great, you know, Genesis, and when they hit Leviticus, you know, they kind of try to make a deal with the Lord, you know, as to what to do. So Leviticus is not often selected book to preach from, and it has much to do with cumbersome rules and sacrifices among the Levitical priesthood. In particular, Leviticus means about the Levites, yet the purpose of the laws contained therein were also for the Israelites as how to properly worship and live as God's holy people. So there's obviously application to everyone because we too are God's holy people. Hello? If you're part of that clan, would you raise your hand? Yeah, every hand. Absolutely. So we are spiritual Israel, and all scripture we know is God-breathed, it's inspired, and it's useful or profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So Leviticus is in the canon, so we honor it, we read it, just like we would any other book in the Bible. So toward the end of this book, amid all the rules and regulations, is a passage outlining rewards for obedience. And to me, it's very akin to the blessings you would find in Deuteronomy 28 that we all should be familiar with. And I want to read a section of what's listed in Leviticus 26 and then highlight a few last verses as we enter the fall season of harvest. Because again, in 2 weeks, ready or not, we are kicking off into the new season. So we'll pick this up in verse 3 of chapter 26. If you don't have a Bible, we'll throw it up behind me on the screen. Verse 3, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees of the field their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down and no one will make you afraid. I will remove savage beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. And here's the passage we'll highlight. Verse 9, I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. I will put my dwelling place among you and will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, to instruct us. Lord, we pray that you just give us a vision of the season we're about to enter, that we would be alert and prepared, that we'd be prayerful, and we'd grab hold, Lord, of your promises and contend for what it is you want to do, Lord, in this new academic year. So speak to our hearts, change our lives, God, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone in the house said, amen. Amen. All right. So there are 5 parts or promises contained in this. And we'll go back to verses 9 through 13. The first promise that we have here is I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful, will increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. The second promise, you will be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. Third promise, I will put my dwelling among you and I will not abhor you. Fourth promise, I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. The fifth promise, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke or oppression and enabled you to walk with heads held high. Amen to that. Amen. The word of the Lord. Amen. Thanks be unto God if you're Episcopal. All right. So this is surely a passage we can pray into as we begin the new season. Amen. The new calendar year. And yes, this was written for Israel, but it applies to us just like everything in Scripture. Written in an original context, but again, all Scripture is profitable. All Scripture has profit, value for us in the now. So to abbreviate what we just went through, we could say it this way. Number one, favor, fruitfulness, and increase. Can we say that out loud? Go. Favor, fruitfulness, increase. Again, abbreviating number two, a new harvest. Let's say that. Thirdly, God will be with us. Let's repeat that. Fourthly, God affirms we are his people. Fifthly, no former bondage holds us back. Glory be to God. Amen. Yeah, good stuff. So first, we know that favor is given due to covenant, and it was qualified in this passage, in this text. Favor is given by covenant. So even if you don't want favor, there is a measure of God's favor that's on you, child of God, just through the mere virtue of being a son or a daughter of God. You've been baptized into the family name. You belong at the table. Now, yes, there are things we can do to cause the presence of God to lift, you know, and that we can, you know, be knuckleheaded and not do right. That's why this talks about the rewards of obedience. But there is favor that just comes with a package. But it's due to the covenant, and God surrounds his people with favor as a shield. It is a grace. It is a gift. Thank God for it. Amen. When you notice that they're just doors that just seem to open in unusual ways, be quick to honor the Lord and say, God, that's your favor on my life. I mean, again, we're different. We're different in a very marked way. We talked about that last week, the contrast between the sons of light, the sons of day, and the sons of night and darkness. And so there, this is a gift. It is a grace. And it's interesting that even when God's chosen people don't properly acknowledge him, yet his favor yet remains in some measure, but it can be heightened due to obedience. You know, the Bible says the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. That's amazing to me that God would give his gifts and his call and would not take it away even if someone's not acting in a right way. Because it's like, I'm not going to pull it back. That's how, when we talked about last week, you can have someone that's kind of corrupt in nature, but yet the anointing is still on them. It's like, that's a head scratcher. Because the anointing works for the hearer. It's not an endorsement of the mouthpiece necessarily. Although we all want it. Amen. But by their fruit, we'll know them. Okay. I mean, people can have amazing charisma, you know, a charming smile. But how many of you know that charm is deceptive? Yeah. And so we want to know what's the state of the heart, what's the fruit that's there. And so it's just remarkable to me that God will dispense his favor many times regardless. I mean, I consider, you know, crafty Jacob, and I just marvel that he could still retain God's blessing, that old crafty thing that he was, because it's due to covenant. How many of y'all have ever read about how Jacob stole the birthright of his brother? He always had trickery. He was always scheming. How many of y'all, you know, and then you saw the grace of God that yet attended him, and you're just thinking, that doesn't seem right. See, God takes covenant very seriously. Like, I'm not going to pull it back. Yes, I'm going to work on him, I'm going to deal with him. And God did. He didn't get away with squat. Hello? I mean, God touched his hip, changed his name, you know, when he tricked his father-in-law. I mean, there was a consequence for sure. But when God decides to cut covenant with the people, he's determined, I'm going to do that. Even when God's chosen are faithless, he is still what? Faithful. It's amazing to me. God, through his covenant with Abraham, chose to multiply his seed like the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. So verse 9 also speaks of fruitfulness and increase, which is our inheritance. So there is general favor, but I think there can be enhanced favor as we obey God, thus this passage. Our steady walk with the Lord is everything. Our steady walk with the Lord is everything. It just automatically brings us into benefits. Amen. Forget none of his benefits, we're told. Bless the Lord, all my soul. And so that steadiness, that consistency, as we talked about last week, even as you receive the Lord, so continue in him. John 15, 4 through 8. Here, Jesus is speaking. He says, remain in me and I will what? Remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you what? Remain in me. And we've talked about it before when people try to bear fruit and they're pushing and kind of in a striving way. What are you doing? Oh, I'm having babies. What are you doing? It's like, well, have you spent time with your lover? Well, no. Well, then there's been no conception, sweetheart. Quit striving. Amen. Right here, it talks about no one can bear fruit unless they're in him. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man, what, remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's just automatic when you're in Christ. Amen. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If, conditional, you remain in me and my words remain in you. This is bold. Ask what? Whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you, what? Bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So we don't even have to be fruit-minded. Just be lover-minded. Be God-minded. Amen? So sometimes people can so obsess with the output that it can throw them off their primary calling. Remember in Mark 3:14, it says, Jesus came down after prayer and ordained 12 that they might be with him. Then he gave them authority to preach and cast out devils. But their primary call was first and foremost what? To be with him. To be with him. And then out of the overflow of that relationship, the stuff happened. Ministry happened. So let's walk with God and let's pray and claim God's favor this fall. Amen. I'm just putting this on the whole of us. Amen. The whole, regardless of your demographic station in life, we're multi-ethnic here. We're multi-generational. And so whether you're 70 or 17, everyone, we can own this as we're looking toward the next couple of weeks. Let's pray and claim. Let's pray and claim fruit that remains and the increase that he ordains. Amen. One sows, another waters. God will bring the increase. Secondly, the passage today speaks of a new harvest. Again, he qualifies it, a new harvest. So call not to mind the former things, Isaiah 43. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Now, the former harvest is not bad. That's God's harvest. Amen? It's good. Anything God has done, it's good. Okay? He's just saying, prepare for the new. Thank God for what he did yesterday, but in our mindset and with our intentionality and focus, prepare for the new. I mean, Laron, Michelle, you know, there are other people just like you that are out there that have yet to be reached. There are more Alan Mitchells that need to be reached. There are more John and Steph. Thank God you're here, but there are others that are just like you that are out there. Amen? There's more. Say there's more. And again, when we go to the house, we want to take as many as we can. The only thing that's greater than just our intimacy with the Lord is helping someone else become intimate with the Lord, first through salvation, and then through growth and discipleship, et cetera. Amen? But there's more. There are more that are out there. Honor the former fruit. It's great. Yet prepare for the new. And you know, nothing enlivens a young family like a new baby. Hello? Each one is just pure joy. I mean, I know our entertainment when our girls were born, you know, when they were like one or two, we just put them in the middle of the floor, you know, and we just watch. You know, just it's almost like sell tickets, you know. It's like if you're leading a life group, there's nothing that lifts it more than someone who doesn't yet know the Lord who walks into that life group. And then you shift everything maybe you were going to do for that one person who's not yet in Christ. Amen. It's kind of like these people over here on their fifth dessert. They've not even had an appetizer over here. And we just need to make sure our value system is right, because all of heaven will rejoice over how many? Just one. We need to have the same mindset. And so we honor those that have been reached. But he's saying, just have a mindset. There's more, just like you. They're waiting. I mean, there'll be many incoming freshmen here in 2 weeks. You know they've got a mama praying for them, a grandmama praying for them. So we're just believing God for that divine appointment to take place. Amen. There are a lot of prayers that preceded them. And there'll be a lot of outreaches that happen. I mean, the fraternities will have their outreaches and the sororities and this and that, and the dorm parties and this and that. So by the grace of God, we hope to get there first, you know. And so, but I'm just saying they're for the picking. Multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. Tell you what, if I was a parent, there'd be nothing that would make my heart glad than to know that when my child goes off to school, there's ministry opportunity there. So they're just not lost to the world, as it were. That there are people that are very intentional and deliberate of going after the harvest, because the very nature of Christ, he came to seek and save that which was lost. And we don't get mad at them because they're lost. They're lost. I mean, if someone said, excuse me, can you tell me how I can get from here to Apex? You wouldn't say, you idiot, you're so lost. No, they're just lost. We don't judge that. That's just, they don't know. Sometimes they do, because the law of God's on their mind and heart. We get that. But they need help. Thirdly, in this passage, he said, I will put my dwelling place among you. That right there is jackpot. I mean, wow, that's everything. I will put my dwelling among you. I mean, that is game, set, match. That makes all the difference in the world. That's the very X factor that makes all the difference in the world. That touch of God, that divine presence. I mean, it's amazing what God can do in a moment, what our mere efforts could never do, huffing and puffing. That touch of God, that oil that drops on us as we attempt to help another. You see, my dwelling will be among you. Wow, that sure is the ingredient that changes everything. I mean, Moses certainly thought so in Exodus 33, so much so that he told God, I ain't budging without you. Now, when you're a friend of God, you can talk that way. He wasn't being arrogant. God, I think, liked that, because he was just saying, I've been in this thing long enough to know if I go out on my own, you know, and you hadn't moved, I'm on my own. And I don't want to be naked on my own without presence, without direction, without favor, amen, without endorsement. So it's like, I'm not budging without you. God, if you don't go, I don't go. I must have you. Well, here we have a promise that he will, in fact, be with us. God said, my dwelling place will be among you. Then he said, I would not abhor you. And you would think, well, certainly he wouldn't abhor us, but you never know what gets up in folks' mind that are condemnation oriented and belittlement oriented, etc. God even said, he's so into this that he would even prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Go figure. He said, even there, I'll be there. Remember the psalmist, even if you make up your bed in Sheol, I mean, it's like you can't escape the presence of God. I know that makes your head theologically go on tilt, but take the point of the communication of his commitment. His presence makes the difference. Oh, that the tabernacle of God would be among us. It makes all the difference in the world. Do you remember when the Ark of the Covenant was parked at the house of Obed-Edom? Y'all remember that? Yeah, everything in that house, what, got blessed. I mean, greatly so. For 3 whole months, that Ark of the Covenant was right there. In other words, where God is, things happen. Where God is, the blessing is. Where God is, there's just, it's not going to be just a neutral experience. It's not going to be tepid or vanilla. I mean, something's going to happen when God's around. Amen. Something's going to, turn to your neighbor and say, something's going to happen. Yeah. Something's going to happen. Yeah. So in that house, everything got blessed. We tell the story in our membership class. It's kind of funny that when we started our campus ministry at UNC back in 1981, they won the men's basketball NCAA tournament. Cool. Then we started our NC State ministry and they won the NCAA. That was Valvano's year. Then we started our Duke ministry and they won the NCAA. So we tell people whenever and wherever we started a campus ministry, it was like the Ark of the Covenant rested in the house of Obed-Edom. Everywhere we would start a ministry, they would win the NCAA. Amen. So those that are on the struggle bus, come March, it's like invite us to come on. Invite us. Better yet, invite God. Yeah, let's go. It's everything. That's why this passage today is under the heading reward for obedience. We get God himself. Fourthly, the passage says that God would even walk among us. I mean, how cool is that? That's not pie in the sky. Do you know he's here? Where 2 or 3 gathered together in my name, he's right here. His spirit is here. The physical Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, yes. But Jesus, through the Spirit, is here. And he walks among the churches. He is here. That's why things happen in worship. That's why things happen in prayer. That's why there's a greater grace when we meet corporately. There's just a greater impetus to break through. That's why we pray for people at the end. There's just greater grace. Because he said, I'll be right there in the midst of you. He said he would even walk among us. Remember how God walked among the churches in Revelation? Revelation 2:1. Do we remember that? The angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand and walks among the 7 golden lampstands. Well, the 7 lampstands were the 7 churches. He promised to be our God. I mean, we could just take any one of these and push the enemy off. Any one of these 5 is some real effective warfare to plow forward. He promised to be our God. And in this, church, he's reaffirming our identity that we are his people. Identity is a big deal in these days because people are confused on steroids. So we want to button that one down. He is our God. He promised to be our God and that we are his people. Again, speaks of identity. Knowing our identity really helps us to fight the good fight of faith. Because you don't bring unworthiness to the fight. You don't bring double-mindedness to the fight. We don't bring uncertainty. I mean, certainly there are things we don't know, but we do know him. but we do know his word. And we do know how to wage an effective warfare by faith, because he is ours and we are his. Glory be to God. He deals with the bully of our soul, does he not? Knowing our identity, he is our God. He is our God. He is our God. He doesn't stutter. No, you are my people. You are my people. You are my people. You know, the enemies of Israel trembled when they realized the God of Israel, who split the Red Sea and destroyed the Egyptians, was among them. They were terrified. Good. Good. The God of Israel is in their midst. We've heard the stories of how their God split the Red Sea, walked through on dry land. Not wet land. How was it dry? Just God. And it all happened at night. Swallowed up the Egyptians. We've heard the stories of how they sacked Jericho. On and on and on. They heard. Good. Good. Don't you want your enemy to be terrified? Oh, yeah. You know, people say, this one lady one time said, it was so funny. She said, the enemy's just been harassing me. He just won't leave me alone. Bless his holy name. I'm like, no, ma'am, don't. Do you realize what you've just done? It just kind of slipped. Quit obsessing. Fear him. Fear him. Fear him. He'll take care of the bully. Fear him. Draw close to him. He'll deal with the stuff that's pertinent to us and concerning us. I mean, many times when we pray in here in worship-based prayer, you know, that first demarcation of the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then it pivots, give us this day our daily bread, you know, or your kingdom come, your will be done. There are many times that before we even go into declarations of, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done here on earth, a lot of times we're just totally caught up with, hallowed be thy name. And we never get to thy kingdom come and daily bread and forgiveness, because we're just caught up in the romance of God. And then somehow we just know in our spirit, we don't even have to deal with that. I think it's just done. It's just done. Because we made that a priority. But because we were putting a priority on his face, his hand automatically comes with his face. Those that merely just go after the hand alone, and his hand is good, we don't foo-foo that. But just because you go after the hand doesn't mean automatically you'll get his face. But there are just many times it's like, God, I just love loving you. I don't even want to ask for anything. I just enjoy being with you. It's just great to be with you. Oh, I love loving you. I'm created for this. Oh, I feel alive when I emote to you and declare the goodness of God. I mean, yes, I've got a list. I've got a prayer list. No doubt we need to check the boxes. But there's sometimes it's like, it almost feels profane to go there. It's like, no, this is just me and you time right now. And you'll deal with the stuff. Well, he is your God. And you are his people. You are his. You are his. Push your shoulders back just a little bit for me, would you? Come on, you're his. Yeah. Give me a little attitude up in here. Kind of do that head. Kind of give me a little, yeah. Come on, give me a, hey, somebody in the house. Come on, give me a click. Give me an attitude. All right, I got one. Thank you. So you'll have a double anointing come on you because you. All right. Fifthly and finally, God deals with our past. Whatever bondage has formerly, past tense, been in your life, whatever bondage is currently in your life, present tense, God says you are no longer slaves. That's good news. Why would he say that? It's obvious, because the devil continues to lie even when you're a child of God. The accuser comes how often to accuse? Night and day. That's why we want to be in fellowship and remain in the Lord night and day to get a one up on him. Make sure your knowledge of God and your praise of God exceeds the lies of the enemy. You see, God says you're no longer slaves. God reminds Israel, I broke the bars of your yoke. And another translation says, I broke the bars of your oppression. Glory be to God. There's weight sometimes hanging on us. Someone said one time, one of the greatest enemies of faith is memory. Because the enemy wants to remind you and torment and harass. And then we, as a man thinks in his heart, we walk that out. But we've got to remind ourselves, no, God dealt with that. You old slew foot, it's under the blood. It's been dealt with. It's been dealt with. Sometimes you just got to talk that way. No, it's been dealt with. Let me remind you of your past. You used to be an angel in heaven. And you got kicked out due to rebellion. And while I'm on it, let me remind you of your future. You're going to burn in the lake of fire forever. Now leave me alone. You know, just like a little three-year-old, sometimes you guys say, leave me alone. You know, we just got to buck up. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. The vertical empowers the warfare. We don't just fight them on our own terms. Submit, honor, praise. And when that grace comes on you, then you do business. Amen. Then you do business and say, enough already. Ecclesiastes says that oppression makes a wise man mad. When you've had enough and you draw the line, enough. I'm tired of that tormenting lie. That's a lie. He's a liar and the father of lies. So his nature is to do what? To lie. He's a lying liar. So just take the opposite of what's being fed in your head. This is the battleground right here. Press down that helmet of salvation. But whatever bondage you had formerly, God says you're no longer slaves. No longer captive to Egypt. Whatever your Egypt was, legally, you've been released. Experientially, that's up to you and me. Legally, yeah, he came to destroy the works of the enemy. Sure. But we have to implement and we have to drive out. We'll never graduate. You know, it's just, I want to get to a place where you leave me alone. No, I mean, if nothing else, you're drawing close to God, even though you got stuff you're dealing with. I broke the bars of your oppression. Child of God, you are also no longer captive to your Egypt. Don't let memory harass you. You're a new creation. We talk about it ad nauseum here about how Paul persecuted Christians, stood there, Stephen was being martyred. Yet later he said, I've done nothing wrong. How could he say that? One thing I do, he said, forgetting those things which lie behind, I press on to the upper call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, I have no future if I'm still stuck in my past. And if there was anyone who had a lot stacked against him, it was Saul who became Paul. But he had a revelation of forgiveness, and he was the chief architect of the teaching on righteousness. Glory be to God. He was a man who knew he was forgiven. He knew that righteousness was imputed to him. So he didn't mess around with that stuff. Amen. It's like enough already. I'm going to honor God by living as if I'm free because I am. Because he whom the Son sets free is free maybe. No, free indeed. Free indeed. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. No longer captive. You could technically be out of Egypt while yet feeling its former effects. But God, whose opinion is the one who counts, said, no, you're no longer slaves. And he punctuates this with a little attitude, a little victorious attitude. He enables you to walk with heads held high. That's why I was saying, push your shoulders back. He enables you to walk with heads held high. Yeah. Shame, old memories might lower our head. Yet God says no more. I broke that. I dealt with that. You're not a slave. The Egyptians are under the water of the Red Sea. They are cut off. Hold your head up high, child of God. You are liberated. You are liberated. So, We're kicking off a new year. What do we expect? What do we pray into? Favor, fruitfulness, increase. Can I get a witness? A new harvest. Anybody? God promises to be with us. He affirms we are His people, and no former bondage holds us back. Amen? Let's run with this. Matter of fact, I would just say, pray Leviticus 26, would you, in the next couple of weeks. Make a demand on it. Amen? And let's see what God might want to do. Matter of fact, Alan, come on up here, and let's just pray for this harvest to come right now. Y'all just agree, again, 2 weeks out.
Yes, God. Yes, 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 yes. Holy Spirit, God, we just pray that, Lord, as the rain has been falling spiritually this summer, both on our own houses, God, and on NC State, God, we just pray for a new harvest to rise up, God. It's like the ground has been soaking up the water. Even the hearts of those in here has been soaking up the water from the Lord. And so, God, we just pray that you cause the growth. There'd be a mighty growth this fall, 2 and 3 times more fruitfulness in our home, the fruits of the Spirit of peace and joy and love and life. And God, we also pray that we would, as Pastor Taylor said earlier, we would partner with those prayers of those moms and those grandmothers for those students coming to NC State. And we pray not one would remain lost. God, we'd run into them. Our students would run into them. God, and this would be the most fruitful year at NC State, God, that NC State has ever had. We pray especially, I just see it now, young men and young women, God, bowing the knee to Jesus. It's already begun. So God, help us line up with what you're doing this fall. In Jesus' name, amen.